You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by drawyoupicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others and see what I can do for you at drawyoupicture.com. Also by our patrons like Jen Jen Jenny and Jennifer Kennison, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus story stickers, ad-free listening, and more. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
My name is Ollie.
My name is Coco.
My name is Reno.
And this is That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
Who watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people. This is That Story Show where we blah, 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 blah. And that's what we do. So, no, we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 420, brought to you the week of August the 11th, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Well, hello, and I'm John. And, James, I love camping.
Oh, do you?
I love it. Absolutely. It's the best thing in the world. You know why I love it?
It's intense.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got that one.
Did I ruin it?
No, you didn't. You made it better.
Oh,
because everybody knows that one.
Oh,
I do like camping though.
Oh,
it's true.
Okay. How do you
and it that? Is intense unless you're one of those kind that has one of those fancy things that you get sleep in. I think they call that glamping.
Oh,
get to sleep in the air conditioned.
Thinking thing millennials with the and stuff. Their renaming of everything that's normal.
Yeah.
Anyway, true. what was the real joke? I'm sorry.
That was it.
Oh.
I like camping. It's intense.
That
was the real joke.
Oh man, I'm such a bad host. Terrible.
No. Everybody on the show, everybody listening right now is like, yeah, I'm glad that James saved that one because it was we saw it coming and we wanted to answer for him. And James fixed it. So,
I fixed the joke.
I fixed it.
I fixed it by guessing it. I don't know. I like that one though. I like that one a lot. It's funny to me.
Yeah. It's intense. Yeah, I like beards too.
Oh.
They grow on you.
Yep. Oh, yep. They do. We always start with an opening story. And this one's called The Bike Crash by Charlie Welsh. He says, hello, my name's Charlie, and I'm going to tell you a story about the time I got my leg broken.
Oh,
it all started with my cousin and I were fixing our bikes. And after fixing them, I tested my bike, and the brakes were too tight. It was such that when I tried to ride, the tire was dragging against the brakes. I understand that. I hate it. I agree. The clamps are too tight, you know, whatever. Every time I would try to fix them, they would just tighten back up. Do the same thing. So eventually I just took them off. The logic of middle schoolers right there, folks.
Yeah.
After that, we started to ride. rode a lot easier without brakes. We rode for about 10 minutes. Then we came upon this large hill. And I told him, check for cars. And he did. Because cars can't just come out suddenly, you know, halfway down a hill or anything. So I started to ride. I was being a dum-dum because I was going too fast. And I could not stop. So I just hit a fence.
Ouch.
Just right into it. Just right in there. And I was sitting on the ground for about 5 minutes. And five different people walked past me. And they were being LBBs because they never even asked if they could help me. Finally, I managed to get home, and I went to the doctor 2 days later, and they told me my leg was broken. Hope it makes it on the show. And John, I'm 1 hour away from you. I hope we can visit each other sometime.
Yes. In a public space. I'm just kidding. Charlie, I'd love to meet up with you sometime. Maybe we can have a Atlanta area, nobody's, I'm that story show meetup.
Wow.
Hey, wow, man, how did that happen? I haven't called this show that nobody's listening in a long time.
Yeah, I know. It still creeps in there once in a while. All right, it's time for us to rewind the week. Rewinding. All right, this is where we share something from the last 7 days or so, and try to make you laugh. I almost killed a very nice Hispanic lady at work.
No, why?
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't out of anger or anything like that. It was, I realized how that sounded. Like, I almost killed her. I was just so angry. No, I was, I work at Chick-fil-A now.
Successful.
And I worked the grill, so I'm cooking eggs and stuff.
Oh.
And I needed to go across. I also take care of hash browns, and hash browns are made in one area, but you have to pass by a counter, you know, with people facing away from you. So you sneak past them, and you grab a bag of frozen, you know, hash browns, and you bring them back across. And you have to say excuse me a lot because it's tight quarters. Think like a I don't know, like a kitchen, you know, a tight kitchen. Just everything's very small rows, and you have to scoot past people. So anyway, it's tight is all I'm saying. And I was walking behind this very sweet lady. Her name is not important. I mean, it is important, obviously, to her. I just don't want to not to the story. I don't want to call her out. But I was walking behind her, and my legs were sprint, you know, walking. So they're like A-frames, you know, how you do. You take a step forward and just freeze me in that position. Well, then she was facing away from me. She goes to turn and face me. So her leg comes out and gets in between my two legs somehow.
Oh, no.
And I take the step forward and trip her leg. And she falls forward behind me right into the grills that I had just left.
Oh.
And so I grab her arm and she grabs some handrails, and I'm immediately embarrassed and horrified. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean. Oh. And I think she was embarrassed too. She didn't say anything, but later on she joked around, and I, you know, was able to be like, yeah, I tried to kill you earlier. I'm sorry about that. And she said, no, the big thing was my hands almost went into the grill.
And, holy moly.
Oh, yeah. She's a sweet Hispanic lady, and she has forgiven me, and I always right with the world. But if I had hurt her, I think the men that I work with would have, like, taken me out and thrown me in the grease pit or something like that. I don't know if we have a grease pit, but they would create
there's
one.
There's a place for things.
But it's terrible. It's terrible. I'm like Jar Jar Binks up in that place.
No, you're not.
I'm so clumsy. No, I am. It's terrible. Like, I was supposed to be collecting dishes on this rack with wheels, and I guess I stacked them stupid, and this plastic handle container falls off, and one of the handles just snaps off as soon as it hits the ground. And I'm like, I did this, and it's right in front of one of the bosses, and he sees me, and I point to it. I'm not trying to get out of it. And she's like, well, that kind of stuff happens. And I said, yeah, but when that kind of stuff happens, does it come out of people's checks? You know? And other people that were nearby were looking at her like, yeah, do they?
Yeah, we need to know because I might have broken a couple things.
Yeah, exactly. And she never answered, but I got my first paycheck today, and I didn't see any discounts out of it. So.
Deduction for a plastic thing that got the handle broke off of it.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
I hate
I did that once
mistakes.
At work. I worked in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah? What? Which one?
Oh, it was a little mom and pop place in Lakeland.
Okay.
It's called Reese Cliff. It was like an old diner. And I worked on the line a little bit, you know, just fulfilling orders. But then they moved me to the kitchen because apparently I was too slow for that. I guess. I don't know. And man, I was cleaning dishes and we kind of didn't have a lot of coffee mugs as it was. And I had a whole tray of them.
Oh, no.
And I set them down on a corner and they fell over and went, bah, 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 bah. I was like, everybody looked at me.
That's so terrible. Well, yeah. I almost killed a Hispanic lady, so.
Sorry.
It caused third degree burns on her arms and palms and stuff, but I would have, the cups would have, I would have crawled into a small hole and died. Oh. Anyway, and what's up in your world?
My world is, we started school this week, and okay. So it's been so much busyness, you know. There's always that busyness start getting up to it, and then the busyness of it starting, and then there's going to be the busyness of getting caught up from all the stuff that you were supposed to get finished during the summer. Mm. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I totally know.
I'm sure. I mean,
I make hash browns for white people, so. Christian white people.
You try to burn the hands on Hispanic people.
Yeah.
No, accidents happen. But Johnny, my oldest son, he has, he's injured himself.
No.
And, I can't remember if I told this or not. He was doing lunges, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even know why he was doing lunges. He doesn't really like exercise, but he was with some buddies and they were all doing lunges. And so he was doing a lunge and he had his slides on.
Oh,
I feel like I've told this before. And you may have.
Yeah. I think we talked about slides and how they're like doctors love them because they keep them in business. Yeah.
It made his kneecap go out of.
Yes.
You know, place
yes.
And all that
okay.
And
now I remember.
Fix that. Well, he's got a plethora of appointments and this one actually wasn't, this one wasn't for his knee. This one was for his toe because he had his toe operated on. And because he had an ingrown and stuff, but he was I took him to the doctor's office for the follow up. You know,
yeah.
This kid, I tell you what, I don't know how he does it. I couldn't be in the room. They said, oh yeah, you can stay in the room when he gets his toe operated. I was like, I don't want to be in the room, but if I have to be in here, I will be. And they're like, oh, you know, you can go sit out in the doctor's in the waiting room. So that's what I did.
Yeah,
I sat out there, and Johnny's like, oh, Dad, can I borrow your phone? I was like, well, maybe he wants to pass the time. I said, sure. And he said, I want to videotape it. I want to take some pictures.
This generation.
So, so he didn't video it, but he did get some pictures. And like the dude can watch stuff like that. I don't know how. It's disgusting to me that it would happen, you know, to watch surgery and blood. And I don't even imagine it.
Yeah.
But he's like, it doesn't bother him at all. But that's not the story. The story is this. We went to the follow-up, and he had to get, you know, that toe checked out and everything. So they took him back to one of the way back rooms. You know, doctor's offices are usually like they have a central area in the middle where they have the nurses and the wait staff and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people doing paperwork and all that fun stuff. And we had a room that was like way back in the back, and they had a little waiting area kind of thing there, and it was completely empty. So he would go in the room and we're just sitting in there waiting, and the doctor comes in, checks him out. And then he says, all right, well, you're all done. Why don't you go ahead? We can go on. And so, Johnny, he's sitting up on the exam table, and you know, those things, they have the really hard plastic on them, right?
Okay.
So, but they're still kind of cushiony. Well, he's sitting up there and I'm over sitting in the corner, kind of looking at my phone, and he just rips this enormous fart. It was so loud. It my ears rang. And I'm looking up and I'm like, dude. And he's like, what? There's nobody out there. And the door is open.
Right.
The door is completely open. And he's like, there's nobody out there. And I take his word for it because he's more in front of the door. I'm kind of behind the door.
He's a musician and he had the right instrument. You know, that
he did.
That was the thing.
It echoed in that room, man. It was crazy. And I'm like, man, that was the loudest fart I've ever heard. And he's like, oh, whatever. I'm great. He didn't say that, but that's kind of what he's laughing at himself.
I'd like to video it.
I wish I had the phone so I could. But so I'm like, all right, well, he gets his shoes on and I go to step out the door and I'm the first one out the door. And there's a nurse sitting right there, like right there. And I know she heard it because she didn't make eye contact with either of us. She just looked. And I turned the corner and I quickly walk off and I don't even know. I left him back there. But I started, you know, when you're not supposed to laugh, but you can't not laugh.
Right.
It was one of those moments where it was just so hilarious. And it was really not that funny. But it was so hilarious. And I'm trying to walk out, you know, the doctor's office and I got tears in my eyes because I'm restraining this huge laugh that I've got. And we get out to the car and finally I was just able to let that laugh out. And it was great. It was a great, Johnny broke more than the tension that moment.
Yeah. He broke the wind. He cracked the plaster like it was some sort of Stranger Things moment going on, you know, cracks.
Yeah.
And blood was coming out of the walls and yeah.
He broke my eardrums. There was blood coming out of those too.
He made that lady rethink her entire job, her whole life.
She's like, I wanted to work for a foot doctor so I didn't have to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought
who
was
goes
far
to a
away.
Foot doctor's appointment?
Oh my gosh.
It's your eardrums blasted off.
So how's his kneecap doing?
No, he's good. He started his physical therapy today.
Goodness
so
gracious.
He's not going to have any surgery or anything. So
I just think it's good. Hilarious that your son, you know, homeschool boy, was hanging out with his friends and the thing he gets in trouble with is lunges. You know, that's the bad thing they're doing. What are you guys doing back here? Nothing, nothing. Were you doing lunges? No, I promise.
No, I hurt my knee. We were doing lunges.
We're not doing lunges. Let me pause the show for a second. Okay. My dog is barking constantly for no reason. Yeah, going to be one of those nights. Hold on. Okay.
Did you kill it?
Yep.
Oh,
dog's dead.
Can I make can you give the pelt to my son James because he wants to make? I should have told that story.
What?
James is, you know, he's in FCF, right?
Yeah.
So it's all this frontiersman kind of stuff. And somebody gave him a fox pelt or a fox pelt hat that he had to finish up. And he's working on it. He did a great job on it. And he's like, hey, when the cat dies, when the cat dies, can I make a hat out of it?
Oh my gosh.
He was serious too. I'm like, I don't know how to take that, but it would be kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Just have the tail sticking straight out.
Hat,
as long as he includes the butthole in the back.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
I think that would
be
classic.
Would
be good. Yeah.
Maybe I'll save that for next week.
No, I'm keeping it on the show. It's recorded. Okay. We just want to take a second and thank some patrons. Luke Barnett became a $10 a month patron. Thank you. That means he's a hot doctor. Do you know that every stage, like, you know, from $1 to $3 a month to $5 a month, has a thing, you know, for $5 a month, you're Lucy. And, for 10, you're a hot doctor. And, like $1 is a basement ghost man and $3 is other dunder and stuff like that. So Vanessa,
what's an auger man,
I can't remember right off the top of my head.
They're at the top of that list.
Yeah,
so
they're up there. Vanessa Trapnell also became a $10 a month patron, so thank you so much for that.
He's a hot doctor too, huh?
Yeah. And all of the names have to do with, you know, memes from past shows and stories and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun. It's a great way to support the show. is to just give a dollar or two or three or five a month, and it helps us out quite a bit. You get an ad-free listening experience as well as stickers and behind-the-scenes content, which is basically more stories. So, I mean, after me and John finished recording that story show, we immediately hit record, and we play this music, and we start recording stories that wouldn't fit on the show, and that's what the bonus people get. So, get more
sometimes
from your
James free raps.
Yeah, sometimes I freestyle and free rap, as we white people are calling it now, and free rapping. So it's good stuff. We got a podcast review from mypodcastreviews.com. I laugh till it hurts, says Second Chance at Life from the United States. This show is so real. It brings out the funny and the most mundane to the most hilarious stories. The recap songs are pure gold talent. I love, love, love it. Well, I got bad news for you.
Must have found us a while back.
Yeah, it must have
started
dove into the past there. It's okay. And just one more plug for the new toll-free number. A lot of folks are using it. I love it. We have a new storyline. It's 833-55-STORY, 833-557-8679. And that is a great thing for you to do, is to call in your story, because we get your version of it. Man, it must be raining hard over there.
I'm so sorry. I'm looking around and thinking, I'm looking at the radar thinking maybe it'll clear up.
Oh,
and it's kind of up and down.
It's just going to be one of those nights. That's all it is. It's time for us to do some listener stories. So let's do that. Is there anybody this segment is brought to you by our sponsors.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, first story, intense itch attack. Try to say that three times fast.
I wonder if that's a camping kind of itch attack.
I don't know. We'll see. It's from Rachel from Texas. She says, I thought I'd check back on my favorite podcast after they'd had their farewell episode. So happy you're back. I'm catching up on missed years. Okay, so years ago when I was 17, my parents and I had our family vacation. Soon after, I moved away and my mom got very ill. So needless to say, this trip was full of special memories, especially this one. We rented a car and we went to see the Grand Canyon and other Arizona sights. On one part of the trip, we were in some small town at a red light, just sitting in silence, contentedly enjoying the trip and the company. And I guess our eyes happened to drift to the right, where a kind of shabby looking guy was walking down the sidewalk. Suddenly, as if taken over by aliens, this guy jumps and reaches back behind himself and started dance scratching his butt crack like a legion of ants had just gotten the call to bite all at the same moment.
Oh, man.
We burst into crying laughter. And my father, almost unable to drive, to this day, many years later, when we reminisce about the good times spent while my mom was still with us, this guy and his unashamed crack scratch still makes us laugh and shake our heads. Hope this makes it on the show, Rachel from Texas. So,
man, I've had things like that happen to me. Fortunately, not my butt, but not like in public, like where like something would happen and I could get a twitch in my arm or something like that, and I'd freak out.
Yeah.
But
you never had.
Try not to do it. Not a never butt had attack.
Fire ants climb up your sphincter there.
Hey, something happened. Someone's in chili. Excuse me. That's not good.
Yeah, it's bad enough you got to be homeless, and you know you're walking the streets. You know the sun is beating down on you. You don't have many things that you own. You know, it's a rough life. It's got to be. And then all of a sudden your butt just starts itching. You know. And you have to write a new sign that says, please help. I need some cream.
I need for some my cream. Butt. I need butt some cream. Prep H.
We'll work. Mm. We'll work for scratches. So if you'll get in there and start itching for me, I will work. I don't know. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
And I didn't read your last name. She texted me back. I she sent in the story, and then I wrote her and said, it's going to be in the show. And she says, that's great. Just don't read my last name. And I'm like, okay. And I had to go back and delete her last name. So
that's because she knows that when sometimes we do things on the show, people find us, right?
Yeah.
And so Rachel was afraid that homeless guy there or Scruffy Man, we don't know he's homeless. Scruffy Man was afraid that his story being told would find her. He's like,
I remember when that girl from Rachel from Texas came through and saw me scratch my butt. They all laughed at me.
Sorry. I got a story from Simone. Do you remember Simone?
Yeah.
Yeah. She had a great story for us a couple. Was it last week?
It was last week.
Last week. Yeah, that's right. Because last week was when the taser stuff came about.
Yeah, I found out I had a thing. I didn't even know that I wanted to tase people, but I have a strong desire to tase somebody.
Yeah.
Namely John.
And that was, and did I say that on the show, or was that on the after show where
you said on the show in real life that if we got 1,000 patron supporters, you would let me tase you. We have just over 100 right now. So it's a pie in the sky dream, but it's a dream all the same, a dream I hold tightly to, that I would have a willing participant that would allow me to tase them.
Oh, willing indeed, and that's me.
Somebody sent me a video this week of a cop getting tased. Apparently they have to go through it. And he was a big, big, strong man. And they shot him in the back, and he went, and he fell over.
I don't want to be tased like that.
They were holding his arms. And I was like, that's probably exactly the sound I'll make, except it'll be more like, I will not make a manly sound. It will not be like
that's what I'll make. That's the sound that I'll make.
I heard you say I like it. That's what I heard you say when you said that. So it sounded I like it.
So. Please, can I have another? No.
No,
I think I'll scream like Luke when he found out that Darth Vader was his father.
Mm. Yeah.
No!
It's not true!
It's impossible! Yeah. Anyways, I digress. This is a story from Simone. It has to do with some tasing, a little bit tiny, somewhat.
Well, it's the tasing story she promised to tell us from last week. Is what it is.
Oh, and that's what sparked it.
Remember, she had the story about the trash can burning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we questioned how could a trash can smell as bad as she said it did. And she explains it here in the story. So I'm looking forward to hearing it.
There we go then. First off, thank you so much for reading my story on the show. Well, you are welcome. And for the record, people tended to throw food into the bathroom garbage cans. So try to imagine the smell of burning sour milk.
Oh.
Blech.
Yeah.
That's gross.
You did it.
It's always fun hearing the thoughts you guys have and John's voices on certain things. But I also learned new things, like the fact that James is a maniac for tasers.
We all learned something that day, you know? I didn't know.
We learned that there is a limit to my willingness to gain more patrons, I guess.
There's no limit.
I mean, 1,000 doesn't sound like much when, you know, being tased is on the line.
Come on, guys. We can do it. There are roughly 15,000 of you out there. Come on. It's just a small percentage. If you'll do just $1, just a freaking dollar a month, it would meet the minimum requirements. You know, let's get this done. Let's make this happen.
I don't want to be on YouTube with, you know, I'd probably be the guy that wets his pants whenever he gets tased. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not wearing khakis that day. Let me tell you. I mean, if it ever happens, I mean, there's got to be 1,000 of you. Yeah. We didn't set a time limit on that, did we?
No, we didn't. It's just whenever it does happen, if it happens anytime, you know, so it better be soon before your heart ages any more than it is.
Right. Because I don't think you're allowed to get tased when you have heart conditions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the story continues. James, you asked for it. I've decided to let you live vicariously through my taser story. This happened the same school year as the garbage fire. Can we pause for just a minute?
Yeah, we can. Hold on.
It's freaking rain. Here you go, James. This is Simone's taser story. This happened the same school year as the garbage fire. And the garbage fire actually happened earlier in the year. The day started out pretty much like the same, quiet and slow. Because, you know, everybody was sleepy. About halfway through the first class, there was some whispers going around, you know, like kids do in a big school. Oh, mm-hmm. Did you hear that thing about that? I'm one of those kids who really doesn't care to get involved with the gossip unless it affects me. And up to that point, it didn't. So I was ignoring. But the bell rang and we all went to change classes. But there was a problem. There was a hallway that I used to take the shortest route to my next class. And when I walked outside the classroom, the entire hallway, James, was blocked off with principals on guard.
They like to do that in her school.
Yeah. In my school, the principals don't do that. I mean, maybe they do and I just never see them. But like if there's, well, we don't really have incidents like this. So I guess I wouldn't really know.
Yeah. We only had two principals. It was the main principal and then Miss Hunter.
The vice principal.
The vice principal, who was a short, stocky, angry lady that I went to church with.
Oh.
And she was very nice at church, but she had a persona at school. And
really?
She was like a little bulldog. Yeah, she would bite you.
Did she go to the same church that I went to?
No.
Okay.
She went to a Baptist church in Point Peter.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, so that was before me, right? Before going to, what was that church we went to? First Assembly?
Yeah, I think it was after. Because I started that. Going with Jen to her family's church.
Ah.
So I cheated on the Assemblies of God and went to a Baptist church. I tried to tell them about the Holy Ghost, but they didn't like it.
The Holy Ghost is different to the Baptists.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We both married Baptist girls. Isn't that funny? And they got it straightened out, right?
Yeah, they did.
Well, aside from all the principals on guard at Simone, she says, now this is an issue because the way my school is laid out, I had to walk around to the other end of the hallway on the other side of the school through a sea full of high schoolers who didn't care if they were late or not to class.
Annoying.
I kind of take it that Simone's a rule follower.
Yeah, she likes her way of doing things.
Like, yeah.
She likes
get
things
there
to
a couple
stay
minutes
the same.
Early, right?
Yeah.
Make it to class. She cares. She wants to be prepared. I bet you Simone pulls out her stuff and has it ready on her desk.
Yeah, she's got a routine.
She has a routine. I think so. Well, the sea of idiots, I'm sorry, 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 I shouldn't call them idiots. The sea of kids was all in the way, And Simone had to make her way to class quickly. She had to do all of that, go around, make it through the sea of kids, all in under 5 minutes, just to get to class, instead of just walking through. And so, well, 5 minutes later, I make it to class winded and frustrated. But some light starts to get shed on the situation. Someone had seen a police officer in the hallway earlier. Of all of the school stories that I had, this one was a rare case in that it seemed like no one knew what was really going on.
Mm.
So fast forward through the day, and the picture becomes a little bit more clear as the story is put together piece by piece.
I don't listen to gossip, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it this time.
well, this involves her. Piece by piece. Messed up her whole, you know, way of getting to class.
I gotcha. Well, I saw a logical fallacy in her argument immediately when she said, I only listen to gossip when it affects me, but you have to listen to it to know if it affects you, right? So you either do or don't listen to gossip. There is no in between. So
I guess. Okay.
I have a personal thing. Like, I don't spread rumors. I start them.
Yes. So, like that rumor about me getting tased for 1,000 patrons. Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Pretty sure
I'll start that one and let it spread itself. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, by the end of my third class, the story was this. A student, one who was notorious for causing trouble, had punched a teacher.
Ooh.
No one ever clarified why. A principal had come to her aid, and the student attacked him.
Oh.
Two officers. See, we had a few that would patrol around in the parking lots. Two officers ran in and tased the kid right there in the middle of the hallway.
Yes.
Tased him good before dragging him off to the
hold the button down. Ah! This is all that years of training.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me, bro.
All the years of training. Comes down to this. I get to tase a freaking high school kid that thinks he's big enough to beat up adults. That would be the ultimate. Yeah.
I'm going to punch a teacher and a principal.
I think I'm going to buy.
I'm going to get tased.
You know those hoods that executioners wore back in the old days?
Oh, jeez.
I think I'm going to get a pair of black shorts and some sandals and one of those hoods. And a big old freaking foam axe and go to the Renaissance Fair and just walk around and just be that executioner guy. No shirt, you know.
No shirt. Yeah. Well, you'll have a mask on. So, right. I mean, nobody'll see your face. So, and it's I'll not just, like if somebody sees you, they're like, oh, James, you're
I'll constantly be looking like I'm headed to behead somebody. But really, I just want to tase somebody, but that's not the right, you know, time period. But that must be what it is. Maybe I have the taste for blood. Maybe I would be a head chopper in a different life.
Oh, my goodness. You would be the one who stands for justice. That's it.
Well, okay, but there's two kinds of head choppers. There's head choppers that are dumb and don't know what they're doing. That's what I've always kind of imagined in movies and stuff, is they're just Forrest Gumpish enough to where they were given the job. They don't really know what they're doing. They're flipping switches. They have no guilt, no conscience, whatever. And then there's ones that probably love it and they would be killing people anyway. And so they were like, oh, you like to kill people? Well, we have people that need to be killed. We'll pay you if you'll do it for us.
Job.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's people me that feel like justice is being served. Like if you killed, you know, a bunch of orphans, say,
what
you need to have your head chopped off.
Oh, gotcha.
I would do it.
You would be the one to exact justice.
I would happily do it. Yeah. I would even lower it slowly, you know?
Oh,
so there's like a, like you're slicing bacon at the delicatessen, you know, just kind of run it across there a few times.
Oh man,
get some thin. You want it thicker than this? You how much neck do you like? You know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think if it was the right person, I could do it.
Oh man,
I know I'm admitting some wild things here, but I really feel this strongly in my heart that there's justice And now I'm back in the old times. I'm not talking about now. I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah, okay.
Talking about in the old days, like Army of Dead, Army of the Dead, Army of Darkness, you know, Evil Dead 3. This is my boomstick, you know, that time period, you know,
like the Dark Ages, the 1500s.
Yeah. Yeah. I could be that guy and I would be able to teach Sunday school on Sunday. I would feel no guilt.
What'd you do over the week, Pastor James?
Well, I killed that guy that killed your dad. That's what I did.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I wouldn't even have to wear the mask if they didn't want me to. I'd just be like, hey, I'm James. I have a podcast. It's a word of mouth podcast. I get together in the pub and tell stories on Thursday nights. So, yeah, if you after this, if you like my work, you'll love my stories. You'll love my show.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I don't know where this is going.
About, like, I feel like I need to do something mean for you to actually want to tase me.
Yeah. No, I'll tase you for free.
When we reach 1,000 patrons. I think, do it for fun.
I think angels need to be brought down a notch, and you're an angel already.
I gotcha.
And, I think there's a part of me that just wants, I don't really want to do it to you. I would prefer a punk middle school kid, you know.
Well, I got
what
one.
Am I admitting to? I'm going to end up in jail. I'm just going to end up in jail. You know,
this might be the episode that we record and never release. James is going to listen to this later on. You know what? Maybe I should cut that out.
I just want to, I want to put context to it because that's everything. It's about justice.
Yeah.
And
it's about justice.
There's a movie, I don't even remember what it is, where, I can't remember his name. Happy Gilmore guy. What's his name?
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler gets mouthed off. He gets mouthed off by this kid. But then he accidentally like knocks him out with a package or something or a box or something like that. And it's just so satisfying and he runs away from it. You know? But the
that
kid
sounds like not Happy Gilmore, but the other one that he did before Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. I don't remember which one it was.
It also is the name of a person, but
yeah.
I never saw it. So
yeah. Anyway, go ahead and finish the story before I get myself into a mess of trouble.
So just to recap, Simone is to put together a story that she doesn't really listen to gossip, but this is how it came about because it affected her walk to her class.
Mm.
Some punk kid punched a teacher and then punched the principal, and the two cops came in and tased his butt
before
hauling him off to
justice.
The car.
Tased him with justice.
Yeah, with justice, the justice taser. It was wild, says Simone, but believable. Though I still don't know why they had to close off the entire hallway when it was all over, okay? Because, I mean, really? I needed to get to class. In my last period of the day, I was a library worker. And as I recounted the story I'd heard to the other workers, the librarian overheard and rolled her eyes, tidying up the details that had gotten off track and taken a life of their own. The facts were, yes, a kid punched a teacher, and he had tried but failed to punch a principal.
Ooh.
One officer had come, but he simply pulled the kid away and led him to out of the school.
Oh, boo.
And, James, no, there was no taser
boo!
After all.
Boo!
That deserves some sort of sound bite of boos.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, no taser.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go. I don't know what happened to that kid. He and the garbage fire kid probably spent some time in a cell and now have some scared straight story.
I hope James doesn't come to visit us.
Anyways, that's all. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I've got another story. I'll try sending over a voicemail. It would be too hard to tell over an email.
Ooh.
And I'm going to look into becoming a patron so James can live his dream of tasing someone.
Yes!
Sorry, John.
Yes!
Yeah. Thanks, Simone.
Thanks,
Thank
Simone.
You.
You're the best.
Yeah.
What is it about Simone's stories that gets us off track, man?
I don't know, man. Simone, I can't
that
wait for the voicemail.
That tasing thing. It's got something in me, you know?
Tasing.
And I'm not even sure I'm pro, you know, I'm not even sure I'm pro death. What is it? What is it called when you're a
capital punishment?
Yeah. I'm not even sure I'm a capital punishment guy anymore. Yeah. I used to be pretty straight laced right wing, you know? So I don't know, yeah. But man, if it was back then when it was just like people were just, you know, getting knocked off for, you know, stealing cherries or something. I don't know what they were doing. stealing lemons. Horses. Yeah. Horses. And yeah. And you were getting hung. I'd be the one. I would offer. I'd be like, yes, let's do this.
I'll pull the switch.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it, man. I don't think I could.
But you know, in their stories, there's always tons of people watching. So yeah. There's always one guy that does it and he kind of takes all the hate, you know, like, look, how could he do that? But how about all these people watching? You know?
Yeah, right. They're there too.
He's the only one being honest in the whole thing. He's stepping up.
And he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, true. Everybody knows who he is, though.
Everybody does.
Because he's not wearing a shirt.
Up later. Wearing black leather pants.
Yeah, yeah. He's not wearing a shirt. He's got that big hood on. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not about wearing hoods.
Simone sends her love from Mississippi. Thank you so much, Simone. That's great. She says, finding you wasn't a mistake. It was a happy little accident.
Oh, we appreciate that.
Best little accident we've had in a long time.
All right, we got a voicemail from Remington. It's called Mouse in the Morning.
Hi, this is Remington.
Hey.
Calling for That Story Show. And I have a story called Mouse in the Morning. So yesterday I was waking up on the couch because I decided to sleep on the couch that day, like an 11-year-old.
Yeah, I do it too. I'm 47.
So when I woke up, my first sight was my two cats batting around an alive mouse.
Oh
no.
So my first instinct was to go get a plastic bag and try to capture the mouse. But the mouse got under the couch, so I went to tell my mom. So I had to go and wait. So she told me and go, told me to go in the living room and wait for it to come out again. So I got bored of waiting, so I used my Apple type watch, or not an Apple watch, but something like that. And
it's Fapple.
Called my dad.
Fapple
and he
watch.
Said to flip over the couches until it came out.
Oh.
So I flipped.
James
so
has
I waited a few minutes for his text to get back. Meanwhile, I was in the Discord server chatting with Jake, the historian guy.
Yeah.
And we have a Discord.
While doing that, my dad's text got to me, I called, or I flipped over the couch, and sure enough, a little itty bitty mouse came running out and scared me half to death.
Well, that'll happen.
So I chased it around the room until I got stuck in between my brother's desk for his Xbox or whatever.
Or whatever.
And at this time, my mom was getting my friend to help me get the mouse. And at the time, I thought it was dead behind there because I squished it with a spoon. But apparently, it wasn't. It was very injured, though. So when my friend, I waited a couple of minutes for my friend to get there. And he helped me move the desk, and the mouse came running. Or he, like, tried to get his hand in there and pushed the mouse out and came running out. And he captured it in his hands and put it in the bucket we had so that we could bring it outside and give it to the neighborhood cat. So we tried giving it to the neighborhood cat.
See, that appeals to me.
But we didn't get to her, or she wasn't around.
She was busy. She had other things.
So we just tried to throw it out in the field-ish.
Ish.
And it probably broke a bone or two.
Field-ish.
So right now, it's either dead or very injured. By the way, I live in Iowa.
It's the end of the story.
Just so you know.
Oh,
okay.
Iowa.
That explains everything. Now.
Hope this gets on the show, and have a good day. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks for the story.
That was gross. He picked up a dead mouse.
He squished it with a spoon, dude.
With a spoon. It's probably his breakfast spoon, too.
I have a rule about some things, and when some things are used for certain things, they belong to that thing. And
yes.
And when you squish a mouse with a spoon, you don't just put it back in the sink and no. wait for it to get washed. That is now the spoon. That is the mouse squishing spoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hang it up on the wall like a fly swatter, and if there's a mouse that needs to be squished, you use that.
It's a squishing spoon. You can even squish small bugs with
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. But it is not to be used for food anymore.
No more eating. It's done. It's past its prime.
Goodness gracious. You know, if it falls on the floor, it's okay. You just wash it. It doesn't belong to the floor. It's not a floor spoon, you know, whatever. But yeah. If you put it on a hairy mouse and you squish it to the point that you think it's dead. Anyway, I don't know.
He probably could have made something out of that mouse pelt.
You know,
could have sent it into my son James. He could have made it into a thimble warmer or something.
Finger glove just for one finger, you know, a little sock puppet, you know, something like that. Oh my gosh. All right. We got another voicemail. It's from Trevor. It's called Dinner Baited. And this has happened to me. So that's why he gets played. Here it goes.
Well, okay. Hi, Jamie and Potty Mouse. This is Trevor from Missouri.
Don't call me Jamie.
I'm calling with a story for that story show here. It's more of an LBB. You guys still do that.
Yes, we do.
So how can I put this? I love Christians, been around in my whole life. I am one myself. But we are notorious for doing this terrible thing. So I had a friend that invited us out to dinner. This was a couple years back, and we were like, yeah, sure. Awesome. We always loved hanging out with these guys, and we hadn't seen them in a while since our college days. So we're like, yeah, sure. We'll go out to dinner. Well, we go there and, conversation's going great. We're just catching up on old times. It's really a lot of fun. And then he pulls out a black folder and says, we're thinking about being missionaries to so and such location. Would you be willing to support us? And I was like, we've been dinner baited. And so felt a little sad. Kind of told him, hey, man, I wouldn't mind supporting missionaries, and my wife and I support a couple already, but let us know before dinner, you know, so we can have the expectation and maybe have some money ready. It just feels bad to get a switch mate. You think, oh great, we're gonna have this nice dinner, and then you end up it's a sales presentation. Yeah. Anyways, just wanted to forward that. That's my LBB. Hope you guys have a great day.
Oh yeah, that deserves the LBB. Oh, it didn't play.
One of the many tools of the devil.
Yeah, it didn't play. I don't know. Anyway, that's happened to me twice.
Twice.
Yeah. One time.
Oh man.
One time I was kind of hard up for money. I needed some cash, and this guy is like, he was a friend of mine, and he's like, you need to meet Bill. And I'm like, who's Bill? Bill's a great guy, and he has the solution that you're looking for. And so he set up, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to have lunch with this guy. So he set up a lunch, and Bill sat down with me, and I met him, and I wanted to give a good impression. So I got dressed up, you know, and I was like, Bill's going to hire me. Bill's an entrepreneur. Bill's got to be something. You know, I didn't know anything.
Yeah, he's got the answers to what I need.
Bill was an Amway salesman.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got pitched a, you know, Amway.
That's a different kind of bait and switch. That's wrong, man. Dude, totally.
And this was a friend of mine that did this to me. So, yeah. I don't know why did he have any skin in the game? Was he getting kickbacks from the guy? I don't know, but
he probably was like the second level or something, and he needed to be bumped up. So Bill was going to come in as the closer, right?
Right, right.
And Bill was going to get your friend moved up to the next level so that he could.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Well, I wasn't about that. He didn't even use Amway. He talked about products and stuff that we all use. You know, and then a second time was a coworker of mine who I love dearly. I love this man to this day, but he invited me and my wife over and a few other friends. And I was so excited because I had never gotten together with this group of people, but I always wanted to, and it was so neat to be included, and we were new to the church, you know, yeah. and all this kind of stuff. And we get there, and there's this guy by himself, and I was like, hi, you know, introduce, you know, blah blah blah. And anyway, we have dinner, and then the guy gets up and starts talking, and dude is selling pots.
Pots?
He's selling like, pots. A set of pots. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cookware.
Cookware. And he's doing a whole thing. And I was so mad. I was like, I cannot believe nobody told me that this was just, like he called it, a dinner bait.
A dinner bait.
I'd never heard that phrase until today.
Dinner baited.
Yeah. And I was so mean to the owner. I mean, to the salesman. I was mean to him.
Oh, no.
I was like, that's ridiculous. Because he was making all these claims about how regular pots put poisons in your food. And I'm like, that's bull. That's just bull. I was so mad. and he launches into this story about his boss, whose son died because of the metals that were being released in pots and pans. And everybody almost was teared up around the table. And I'm like, I can't say anything now, because now I'm be the guy that hates the kid that died. Yes. But I'm like, no, this is even more bull crap, you know? Anyway.
Oh, man. I had a friend that, one of my good friends, actually, he got dinner baited. So like there's this couple from the church that was moving away, and they invited him to lunch. And he's like, oh yeah, I'd love to come out and, you know, do that. And then he goes to lunch, and they're like, there's a bunch of people there. And he's like, well, what's going on? You know, he's trying to figure this out. And then so the dude's like, you know, thanks for coming to the lunch, blah, blah, blah. And then, hey, we're going to go into the mission field.
And
we're just hoping that maybe you'll, it always starts out, we just hope that you'll, you know, pray for us first. But they're really,
yeah, they want your money.
Yeah, call me jaded, but whatever. So that happened.
You know,
that kind of.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's what happened to him. And then I had another one that happened to me. But what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying there's a whole movie that is based on this premise, and it's a horror movie. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but this ex-wife of this dude invites him and a bunch of their old friends together, and she has her new friends over. And everybody's getting along, and they're having a great dinner. And then all of a sudden, the friends of the ex-wife lock the doors and pull out guns, and they're demanding that they join their cult, or they're going to kill them all. Yeah. And then they have to survive this experience. Yeah.
Holy cow.
So dinner baited, taken to the extreme.
It sounds kind of like what, you know, you go through. That's the feeling.
That's what you feel like.
That,
yeah.
That switch. We had Amy and I were invited to something once. It wasn't so bad. It was totally chill and laid back, but we were invited to have coffee over at a friend's house. And so I was like, yeah, sure. That's cool. And so we went over there, and there's a few other people there, and I'm like, oh, it's neat. And then there's the pitch, and it wasn't like totally like, hey, you need to, you know, support us or anything. It's like, hey, this is the coffee that we sell to help the fund the mission act or mission work that we do. And so, and you're like, oh man, I didn't bring my checkbook. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can get it online.
How do people do it? I could take somebody's head off, and I couldn't do this to somebody.
I didn't mind this so much because, you know, you buy the product. Like, I drink coffee.
Right.
I love coffee. And so it's good to buy coffee and then know that it's going to a, you know,
I know, but it's the premise to me. Reason. It's the whole point of the thing. It's like, I you bait and switched me. You lied to me. I'm not going to reward that. I'm not going to buy your crap. You know,
I call you a liar with your stupid pots and pans,
your dumb pans. And then you make up this bullcrap story about some kid that died because of pans. Nobody, no kid in the world has ever died because of pans unless they were made out of lead. So anyway, we got one more story. It's a voicemail. Okay. It's called Elephant Toothpaste. And then we'll get out of here. Let's see what see what wonders this one unfolds for us.
Hey guys, I'm calling for That Story Show. I've got a story here. I'm in the car driving across the country. I've got Bree and Keaton here with me. Anyway, I've been listening to your story, That Story Show, for a little while and thought I'd just sit in a story. So, I'm a chemistry major at a very conservative Christian college here in the United States. And I have a story that happened during a vacation Bible school. So I was running a vacation Bible school. We had 20, 30 kids come, and I decided to use my chemistry skills to entertain the kids. And so I decided to do my own take on elephant toothpaste, which, if you don't know what that is, you mix hydrogen peroxide to baking powder and or soda. And it creates this bubbly foam that kind of goes everywhere, and you mix in some food dye and it gets colored, and it's kind of fun. So me being the chemistry major that I am, I decided to add extra strong product. So I used 30% instead of 3% hydrogen peroxide, which is supposed to make a lot more foam. So I mixed it up, and it was really pitiful. I mean, we barely had year old making fun of my chemistry skills. And so I was kind of embarrassed, and to kind of remedy the situation, I took three times the normal amount of each one of the reactants and more food dye, and mixed it all in and put it in a 2-liter bottle, sealed the bottle, and then shook it up. And as soon as I sat it on the ground, the bottle exploded, and it shot this greenish-blue foam all over the place. And most of it went straight up, and then it came down on my head. And so it's hot. The foam is really hot. So I'm trying to get it out of my hair, but as I'm trying to get it out of my hair, I'm just rubbing it in more and more and more. So I dyed my forehead and my hair and my hands and my forearms this greenish, terrible green-blue color. Well, because I used the 30% hydrogen peroxide, it was much stronger than it normally would be, and so it actually stained my skin and dyed my hair this green color. And like I said before, I was at a very Christian, very conservative Christian university, and so it was very much against the handbook for me to go to class with blue hair
and
green skin. However, they let me go to class, and my chemistry professor is a very stoic person. I have never seen her laugh until I walked into class with green hair and explained what had happened. And I had her and the entire class laughing for almost the entire period. It was great. We got out of the lesson and we all had a good laugh. Took about a week to get it out of my hair. And then afterwards, the hydrogen peroxide had bleached my hair. So my normally red hair was very, very, very blonde. Anyway, well, I hope this makes it on the show. Bye.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
That one got me coughing, too. Good grief, man. Well, who is that guy's name?
He didn't give his name.
He gave the name of the car
kids.
Riders with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so he didn't get that. But
well, enjoy your road trip, man, and to the ones in the car with you. Well done. And, man, if you had a picture of that, I would love to see it.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes.
That would be fantastic.
That's so great.
Well, guys, that's our show for today. I enjoyed it with all of its interruptions and rains and dogs barking and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, surely you have a funny life story. Maybe you thought of one while you were listening just now. Whatever your story is, call us toll-free, 833-55-STORY, or email thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Review the show on iTunes or wherever you found us. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kinnison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, if we get 1,000 patrons, I get to taste John. You know you want it. You know you want it, and you want to give it to me. You want to help me do this. So anyway, remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, and don't use a perfectly good spoon on squishing a mouse. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Holy moly. Man, I never thought I'd hear this in music today. Some podcasts just start and they just flow. And this one did not flow.
The rain did, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then editing it, nobody will really know what in the world I'm talking about, but it was a rough one today. Weather.
Everybody, did you hear that thunder just now?
No.
Serious. Everybody who listens to this show will get the edited portion.
That's right.
Portion. And but for the rest of us in the chat room in here, different story.
They know what really happened. See you later.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.